This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
We might not even know that the person sitting, you know, in front of us or behind us is spiritually strengthened because of our passion for Christ. But if you have a passion for Christ, I guarantee you, you're having an impact upon your brothers and sisters as you express that passion. You see, such is the impact of the Holy Spirit in resourcing His church with a genuine passion for the Lordship of Christ.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, The Helper Helps Us to Help One Another.
Well, welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This passage is so full of meaning and practical helps to us as we consider the person of the Holy Spirit and specifically His work of gifting each member of the body of Christ with special abilities to strengthen the body of Christ in worship and in witness and in the work of the Lord Jesus. You know, the Church of Jesus, it's such a precious possession of His. He loves His church, and not just the church sort of big and in general, but each specific church and the church to which you're a part. He loves your church, and He's gifted you with an ability to help your church grow stronger in faith and hope and love, love for Him and love for one another. And so as we open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, let's ask God to teach us and then to challenge us specifically of how we can apply His word to be a blessing, God's blessing, to the church to which we belong.
The first resource that the Holy Spirit provides us so that we could be that kind of community that glorifies God is the Holy Spirit provides us with a passion for Jesus' lordship. Look at verse 2 and 3. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. And there he says, you were disconnected from God. You had no passion for God at all, at least the true God. You may have been passionate for God, but it's little g. It was no God at all. It was false idols. He says, therefore, I want you to understand, though, that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is cursed. He says, the first thing I want you to understand is regardless of how godly, regardless of how wonderful the community is, how sweet the fellowship might be, if there's any fellowship that doesn't acknowledge the majesty of Jesus, the lordship of Jesus, the centrality of Jesus, the unique claims of Jesus as being the only way to God, that group and that person is not speaking from the Holy Spirit. That person is speaking from a demonic spirit. It's a doctrine of demon. He goes on to say this then. He says, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the meaning here is no one can genuinely say Jesus is Lord, authentically say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. You know, in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus affirms the possibility of false confession. It's possible, Jesus says, to verbally call Jesus Lord. He says, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do miracles in your name? And I will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So Paul is not contradicting Jesus here. Rather, Paul is reminding us that the only reason we have a genuine passion for the lordship of Christ is because the Holy Spirit works that passion into our hearts. Wherever there are people who love the Lord Jesus, who submit their lives to Him, who joyfully confess that Jesus is God and that He is Savior, the only Savior who has come in the flesh to redeem us through His death, burial, and resurrection, people who would sell everything, give their very lives, take up the cross in order to follow Jesus, those kind of people, the only reason why such people existed is because the Holy Spirit has done a miracle in our hearts. Amen? God the Holy Spirit has placed the life of God in our soul so that we see Jesus is altogether valuable. There's nothing more valuable than Him. And the passion we have is not passion because the music was great. You know, there is a kind of passion that can be motivated by external things. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about genuine passion, a lasting passion through good times and bad times, when the music is great and when the music is not so great. And by the way, it's always great here. But even if it were not, we would be able to have a great time in worship. Doesn't matter what the instruments are playing. We just love God, and we have a way to express that, right? And this is not a passion that we have to sort of manufacture. Oh, I got to be more fervent. I'm going to be, you know, act more fervent right now. No, that's not what happens. If we have a true fervent submission and joy in the Lordship of Jesus, there's one explanation. And that is the Holy Spirit has done a miracle in our heart. And we pray, Holy Spirit, work. Holy Spirit, work. I went trout fishing this week with a group of 8 men from our church. What a joy. During one of the evening discussions, we talked about the effect and impact of our church's joyful singing to God upon the men. And one of them, he's been here just, I think, 3 years or so, and he said, one of the things that has impacted me greatly is sitting in church and hearing the passion which God's people sing praises. He says, it just overwhelms me. He's like, I almost want to stop singing just so I can hear the church. Because there's an effect that other people's faith have upon me when I hear them have a passion for Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's how he uses us. We might not even know that the person sitting, you know, in front of us or behind us is spiritually strengthened because of our passion for Christ. But if you have a passion for Christ, I guarantee you you're having an impact upon your brothers and sisters as you express that passion. You see, such is the impact of the Holy Spirit in resourcing his church with a genuine passion for the Lordship of Christ. The application, again, would be, let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us zeal, to give us zeal for God. Let's pray that. The second resource is the gifting for God's glory. Look at verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now first observe the emphasis upon the triune God's action in helping us to minister to one another. Notice how he says the same Spirit. And next he says the same Lord. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. And the next he says the same God. He's talking about God the Father. So the Spirit, God the Son, God the Father, all active in the workings of this new community. Second, observe how the gifts connect to what the ESV reads as varieties of service and varieties of activities. So a spiritual gift is a spiritual ability given by the Spirit to use in the strengthening of the whole church for God's glory. That's what a spiritual gift is. A spiritual gift is different from a natural talent in that a spiritual gift is only given to people who believe in Jesus, and it's given with the express purpose of strengthening the body of Christ, strengthening brothers and sisters in their faith in Jesus as we give witness to the world. So when you read the word gift, think of spiritual ability that is given to you by the Holy Spirit. The next word then in this little few verses is the word service. A service is a specific ministry in the context of this community. For instance, today some believers are using their spiritual gift to welcome people with the welcome of Jesus. That's an impact. Others are using their gift to teach children the gospel. Others use their gift to teach adults the gospel. Others are using their gifts to offer hospitality through coffee and refreshments. Others use their gifts to pray in faith for people who come here and who are in need and who are hurting. It's myriad, varieties of service, varieties of ministry, and each person is given a spiritual gift by the Spirit, and then by the Lord Jesus, they're given a specific ministry. We're listening to the voice of Christ and saying, how would you have me serve you, Jesus, in your body, in your family? And there's varieties of ministry. Some of them are programmatic. Some of them just come to you without anyone having a program. It's not part of a program. It's just ministry in the church, ministry to the world, varieties. But Jesus is sovereignly calling and shaping those ministries for each person. And then he says, and there are varieties of activities. Now, I much prefer the New American Standard translation where it reads, there are varieties of effects. So every person is given a spiritual gift by the Spirit. They're given a specific ministry by Jesus. And then God the Father sovereignly takes that gift and that ministry and ensures a specific effect, a specific fruit that would be born from the ministry that person exercises. So it's impossible to manufacture spiritual fruit. It's God the Father who sovereignly does that. And what an encouragement. God ensures that every person who uses their gift in the service that Jesus calls them to absolutely will have an eternal impact. Have you ever used your spiritual gift in some ministry that you believe Jesus called you to, and then afterwards said, well, gee, I don't know if I made any difference? Have you ever had that happen? I've had it happen all the time in my life. You know, I sense God calling me to go to this place or that place and do this and that, and at the end, I don't know what happened here. I didn't have anybody come up to me and talk to me about any fruit, and I don't know if it happens. And it's easy to get discouraged then. You start choosing your ministry on the basis of what you think the effect will be. And that's the wrong way to choose ministry, by the way. You choose ministry on the basis of where Jesus leads you. And as Jesus leads you, then, okay, I'm going to trust that the Father is going to provide whatever fruit. And there's a variety, some big, some really small. But it's the Father's sovereign ordination over that. And I can trust Him. So mine is not to produce the fruit. Mine is to just simply trust the Holy Spirit as I receive the spiritual gift, as I follow Jesus in the specific ministry, and then know that God's going to have an eternal impact. And here's what Paul will say at the end of this letter. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding. He doesn't say always involved in the work of the Lord, but he says always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Why would we do that? Why would we give ourselves to that? He says, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Father will always see to it that there's eternal impact. Eternal impact. What a wonder. So the Holy Spirit, He resources us. And every one of us was resourced. When I was little, I loved the comic book, The Fantastic Four. And I love that because, first of all, they were all amazing. You had the stretchy guy, and you had the invisible force field gal. And then you had the big rocky guy who was just super strong and could fly a plane. And then you had Johnny Storm. He was my favorite. The fire guy, right? Now, what was interesting is they didn't always get along, but they always end up coming together. And when they didn't get along, it didn't go too well. So the story didn't go too well. But when they came together, varieties, right? And when we look at the gifts, we might say, well, I wish I had Johnny Storm's gift and not. No, that's God's sovereign domain, and He's perfect over it, and it's us to receive whatever He gives us in reference to spiritual gifts, and then to use and to know that God's working out the big picture, and He does so in a beautiful way. The Holy Spirit next helps us to strengthen one another. Look at verse 7. This verse is perhaps the most profound of the section related to spiritual gifts. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So three key truths about spiritual gifts here. The first is the Holy Spirit gives each person a spiritual gift. No person is left without a significant contribution to make in the ministry of Jesus' people, of His community. They're gifts of grace. They're not given according to merit. They're given according to the Lord's gracious and sovereign will. Look at verse 11. Paul names 9 separate spiritual gifts, and then he says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually, and notice this, underline it, as He wills. It's the will of the Holy Spirit. But each one is given an important, necessary spiritual gift to be used in the body. Second truth, the Holy Spirit is made visible through the use of spiritual gifts in the church. So spiritual gifts are called, notice that, the manifestation of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit. He's invisible. He's invisible to the human eye. So how are we to see His presence in the community of faith where He indwells us? Well, how do we see that? Well, we see that as individuals use their gifts, connecting to other people who use their gifts, and the Holy Spirit's like, this is clear. The Holy Spirit is working. He's present in our midst. You know, oftentimes, I'll just give one quick illustration of that. So many. Been at the church for 28 years. Praise God. What an amazing journey. 28 years of just being part of this body. And through that 28 years, there's, you know, ups and downs, as there is in everyone's life. And there have been Sundays I've come with a heavy heart, come with a hurting heart, come with, anxious heart, or some Sundays that were like that. Of course, I don't come and say, I'm hurting today or I'm anxious today. Do you do that, by the way, when you come to church? I'm anxious today. Please help me. No, we don't. We come with a smile on our face. You know, we look the same. So people don't know. But oftentimes, I can't tell you how often it is when I come and I'm in that state and someone comes up to me and says, like, the perfect word. Almost as though they knew every part of the conversation that I've been having in my head on the way to church that day. And I think, well, how do they do that? You know, I don't think they have a listening device in my home, but they say the perfect word. How do they do that? And I say, that's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's manifest. He's like visible to me now. He's visible through this person who just ministered to my soul, sometimes through correction, sometimes through encouragement, sometimes through instruction. But this person just ministered to my soul in a huge way, right? And that's how the Holy Spirit makes himself visible to us. It's through the use of these gifts. The third idea here is the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts for the common good, for the common good. In other words, the Holy Spirit uses these gifts not for the purpose of even personal edification, but for the purpose of us contributing to something greater than ourselves and thus finding greater meaning in God and in his work than we would in our own selves. Peter gets this, and in 1 Peter 4, he says, each has received a gift, and so use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied gifts. So the Holy Spirit intends to use our gifts to help other believers to grow in faith and to deepen in their love for Jesus. When we hear a message on the topic of spiritual gifts, one of the first questions people ask is, well, how do I know what gift I have? And in fact, some churches created tests that you can take to find out. What I find really interesting is that when that question is asked, and I open up my Bible, I have no place to turn. In order to answer the question, I have to close my Bible and tell the person what I think. Because the Bible, I don't know of a passage that suggests how you can find what your spiritual gift is. If you know one, come up to me afterwards. Teach me. But I don't know. I've never found one that even addresses that question. It's an important question. It's undoubtedly that people in the first 10th century had it. So what does that tell us? What does that tell us? Well, I think John Piper, one of my favorite pastors, hits the nail square when he writes this. Listen to this. I think this is really important. He says, I really believe that the problem of not knowing our spiritual gifts is not a basic problem. In other words, that's not the problem we really have. More basic is the problem of not desiring very much to strengthen other people's faith. In other words, it's our own selfishness that thinks about ourselves and doesn't take into consideration, you know, God every Sunday and then all through the week gives me opportunity to strengthen the faith of my brothers and sisters. Do I really want to do that? Because I believe if you and I really want to do that, we will not have to ask the question, what's my spiritual gift? We'll discover it very quickly. Because we'll start doing stuff, talking, speaking, working, ministering, serving, and all of a sudden we're going to see certain effects and we're going to find certain joys and we're going to find certain confirmations. Confirmations that we didn't really know we had. And most basic is, am I a person? And here's what John Piper, so the basic problem is becoming the kind of person who wakes up in the morning, thanks God for our salvation, and says, Lord, oh, how I want to strengthen people's faith today. Grant that at the end of this day, somebody will be more confident of your promises and more joyful in your grace because I crossed his path. I want to be that person. I really do. And I believe as together we become that kind of people, then the question of what's my spiritual gift, it'll fade into the background and we'll find a glorious manifestation of God's Spirit. Let me give you just one illustration then some applications as we close. Imagine this morning Mr. and Mr. Smith walking into Bethany with their little one. They've had a tough week. Their jobs aren't going well. You know, they fought a lot. They've learned of a health scare. They recognize they need something and they decide to give church a try again. Haven't been here for a long time. As they enter the church, they're greeted with genuine love. They're asked how they can be helped, and then the couple asks if the church has a nursery. So they're walked down to the nursery where they're met by a smiling caregiver. The nursery worker loves them as he or she shares all that the church does to ensure the care and safety of their little one. And it helps them to process the checking in of the child, which can be lengthy. As they make their way to the sanctuary, they're offered coffee, some refreshments. A few people come up to talk to them. As they enter the sanctuary, a couple ask them if they'd like to sit with them at the service. And they feel kind of lonely in a big place, so they feel warm, and they say, sure. As they begin singing, they notice the joy others have in the Lord. As the Bible is read, they notice that Bibles are open and that people are actually interested in what God has to say in His Word. And then the Word is preached. And after the service, another couple meets them and asks if they're free for lunch, and they'd love to get to know them better. Let me ask you, what part of that experience is the most important part? Who had the greatest impact? Who did? It's I don't know. But I know that because all they experienced, when we hear the Word, which is the life-giving thing, when that person hears the Word, they're more receptive because of the encouragement and the ministry of others in the body. And that after they hear the Word, they're more thoughtful about the message because of how they are loved by the body. And that's why the church is not about a pastor. This is not, you know, Pastor Rich's church. It's Jesus' church. And it's ours together to steward for the glory of Christ. For the glory of Christ. Some short applications. Believe in Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's where it all begins. If you have not believed in Jesus, your Savior, you do not have the life of God, and you need the life of God. You need to know God personally. And Jesus calls you to Himself to believe in Him. Second, ask God for a desire to help others grow in faith. Ask Him to give you a passion for people in our own community. Then use your gifts. Just find a way to say, Lord, I want to be used, and I know there's a lot of places to start. I'm just going to begin. Use your spiritual gifts. Actively fan into the flame the gift that God's given you. As you are using those gifts, then say, man, I want the Holy Spirit to continue to grow this gift and grow the ministry that God would give me so I could learn more about glorifying Him. And finally, encourage others to use their spiritual gifts too. And we do that if we see them using a gift by affirming them and confirming God's work. And if we see other friends who aren't using their gifts, to tell them, hey, there's this great joy, and I want you to experience it. And this body needs you to be able to fully function with the vitality that together we can for the glory of God.
Rich will be right back to wrap up today's message. We're glad you joined us and encourage you to invite friends to listen. You can stay connected during the week through our website, knowingchrist.org. Now, here's Rich with some closing thoughts.
Well, thank you for listening to Knowing Christ. We pray that this radio ministry will help you to grow to know Jesus Christ more and more. Part of the process that God has us in to know Jesus Christ is to be active in the work of Jesus Christ, to be active in the mission of Jesus, to really be committed to the church of Jesus Christ. It's His church. It's His precious possession, and He cares for her. If you're not a part of a local congregation, I would urge you to find one that represents Christ and to become members. If you are a member of a local church, I would encourage you this week to reach out to your pastor and say, Pastor, how can I strengthen this local church in her worship, in her witness, in her work to fulfill the mission of Jesus? I believe your pastor will be overjoyed by that question, and I believe that God will give you joy as you participate in the work of God in your own local church. And so, won't you pray over that matter with me? Pray that God would use you for His glory.
Here at Knowing Christ, we're so thankful for our listeners. The comments we receive are such an encouragement to us as we hear how God is at work through this ministry. Would you spread the word? Invite a friend to tune in on this station to hear Knowing Christ each week. And check out our website where you can send us a note or listen to these messages again. Thanks for listening. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.